The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Mr. Mahomes. Looks like he'll play, but one of our crew has the formula for slowing him down in the biggest game of the year. Then, the legend, head-to-head, why this showdown of Rodgers versus Brady will look nothing like the last time they met 3 months ago. And there's a new boss in Philly. What exactly will this mean for the player under the most pressure in the entire NFL? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you on this Football Friday, starting right now. Greeny here from our studios in New York City, and we are ready to go. Take a look at the squad on this championship weekend as we see the four legendary quarterbacks or soon to be legends, and of course the legendary analysts are here as well. Ninko is ready, Kimberly Martin, Ryan Clark, and Bart Scott will be along as well, as the NFL's Final Four is 48 hours away. We begin in the AFC with the Bills and the Chiefs. Kansas City, the second franchise to host a conference championship in three straight seasons. The other was the Eagles in the early 2000s, both teams coached by Andy Reid. These two met in week six in Buffalo. Kansas City coming out with a 26-17 win. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, each throwing a pair of touchdowns. And speaking of Mahomes, he, of course, remained in the NFL's concussion protocol, but took the majority of the snaps in practice yesterday, despite being listed as a limited participant. Here's his coach, Andy Reid.
Pat looked good out there. He did a nice job when he was doing it, and looks like he's moving around well. He feels good. So it's just important that we follow the protocol, and that's what we're doing.
Jeff Darlington is covering the AFC Championship for us, and he gets up early with us today. Hello, Jeff. What more? For the fans who are following this, what exactly needs to happen between now and then to confirm that Mahomes is eligible to play on Sunday?
Well, Greeny, you heard Andy Reid basically say that he feels great about where Patrick Mahomes is at. And basically, if you think about the NFL concussion protocol, there's five stages to that. Mahomes basically between four and five right now, I anticipate. He'll probably get cleared by the Chiefs trainer today. Then the big question is simply the independent neurological examiner. Mahomes can say, and he does say, that he can feel as good as he wants, but not until that independent examiner says that he is back to baseline and fully capable of full contact can Mahomes step back on the field in a game situation. We do anticipate that will happen. The Chiefs are planning for it to happen, but not until that examiner gives the okay will we know that Mahomes is back on the field.
So the Chiefs are planning for it, and that makes sense. Given all the uncertainty, though, how are the Bills planning for this weekend?
Chad Henne's name has not been mentioned in the Bills facility, and that's not because they are offended by Chad Henne. They simply are not preparing for him at all, Greeny. They know that this is the Patrick Mahomes show. They are preparing as such, just as the Chiefs are. So as much as we all understand the importance of getting through the concussion protocol, Greeny, I think we all know what's coming next.
I think that's exactly right. Up before the sun is my man, Jeff Darlington. Well done. Thank you, Jeff. Let me bring the crew in here, and let's start talking about this game. We've got Kimberly again, Ninko, and RC. And Rob, let me start with you. Let's put the concussion piece of this out of the question. He also has a foot that he's dealing with. It's officially a foot. We believe it is a toe. One way or another, we saw him limping in the AFC Championship or in the game before this against Cleveland. So how do you anticipate the Bills defending Mahomes this weekend?
Well, you can't be scared, that's for sure. So the Buffalo Bills are going to have to get after Patrick Mahomes. And when I say that, breaking the pocket, making him uncomfortable in the pocket. When you have a turf toe or a toe injury, I know I have had a turf toe injury. It is one of the most painful things that you try to deal with during the game. And if it's just re-aggravated on one play, then it really could affect you. So we all know Patrick Mahomes is great throwing on the run, running for first downs. But when you have a couple injuries that you're thinking about, it could slow you down and it could limit maybe some of Andy Reid's plays that he wants to call, because you don't want to put him in harm's way. I mean, look, he just had a concussion. If he goes out there and he has one more ding, they're going to pull him from their biggest game of the season this year for him. So they're going to have to protect Patrick Mahomes, make sure he doesn't hurt himself trying to run for first downs.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic in this game. RC, I'll put it as simply as I can. How much of an impact on the AFC Championship do you expect these injuries to have?
I don't think they'll have a big effect. And listen, and Rob said, don't be scared. Don't have fear. Man, you better be scared. You better have fear. That's Patrick Mahomes. You ever seen a scared raccoon? They fierce as hell. That's how they need to act. They need to get after him. They need to make him move, get him off of his spot. But Patrick Mahomes is not Lamar Jackson, right? He's not Michael Vick. You don't go into a game and say, you know what, Patrick Mahomes' mobility is what scares us the most. Now, he does get outside of the pocket. He does create second play opportunities. But it's about his arm. It's about his understanding of the offense. And it seemed, even on that toe very early in the game, he was able to do that. And as far as the concussions go, you know what? Don't call speed option, Eric Bieniemy. Don't call speed option, Andy Reid. You do it like twice every 3 weeks anyway. So it's not necessarily a big deal as play calling goes. If you're the Buffalo Bills, you've done one thing right. You have not mentioned Chad Henne's name. You know why? Because if you prepare for Patrick Mahomes and you get Chad Henne, you're actually overprepared. Don't trip. But the one thing you better be preparing to do is play the best Patrick Mahomes, a healthy Patrick Mahomes, and that Patrick Mahomes that can beat you. And I know Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier have their team ready for that.
Kimberly, what's the sense you're getting from people you talk to around the league leading up?
You know, everybody expects Patrick Mahomes to play. I mean, again, we've got to wait for him to clear it officially. But, you know, the Bills understand that this is a huge challenge. You know, it's possible that some of these guys walk into Arrowhead Stadium. You're about to face the Super Bowl defending champions. There could be a moment of like, is the moment too big for them? But when you talk to the Bills organization, when you talk to people like coaches and players, they say they're not worried at all. You know why? Because they have confidence in Josh Allen. He is the guy that everything about this team feeds off of him. He's the guy that makes this team go. And that loss to Houston last year in the wild card game, that was the turning point for him. He was not the only person to blame for that loss to Houston. However, he went into this offseason knowing, I've got to level up. I've got to be the leader. And the addition of Stephon Diggs makes his team extremely explosive. Other guys are showing out as well. So the Bills, they feel good, whether it's Patrick Mahomes or somebody else.
I get it. And then very quickly, and we'll have more time to talk about Josh Allen as we go, RC, but just looking through some numbers here. I mean, the Bills running backs have a combined total of 19 carries in their two playoff games. That's not the formula to beat Kansas City, RC, is it?
No, it's not the formula. We look at teams that beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They rushed the ball for 35 times for 35 carries, over 160 yards. And you look in that second half when Cleveland started to move the ball, they were thinking about the run. They were sticking to the run. So Josh Allen is going to have to be important to this game. Listen, during the season, it was about Moss and Singletary. Moss got hurt. He's injured now. We're going to have to see Josh Allen carry some of the load. And that's on called quarterback runs and scrambles. He is the focal point of this offense. He is the guy that drives the Ferrari that is the Buffalo Bills, but he needs to be healthy. And so in that, they have to be careful. So timely called runs, Josh Allen being very intelligent on run pass options, and him using his downfield threats to get extra yards will be huge in this game.
All right, so that's the story with the AFC Championship game. That's the later game on Sunday. Now to the early game, and that, of course, is the NFC, the Packers hosting the championship game for the first time since 2007, a day in which they lost to the Giants in overtime. That turned out to be Brett Favre's final game. It was the Tom Coughlin's face game, as we always refer to it here. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers playing his fifth conference championship game. He's 1-3. In previous efforts, only Ken Stabler, Donovan McNabb, and Tom Brady have lost more conference championship games with four apiece. And, of course, it's Brady starting his 14th conference championship game on Sunday, twice as many as the next closest starting quarterback, which would be Joe Montana with seven. So, I mean, Brady has sort of put that into an entirely different stratosphere. But let's talk about the weather. Lambeau Field. I guess it could be colder. This is the home of the Ice Bowl, the coldest game in NFL history. It's not going to be anything like that. You see, it'll feel like 24 degrees, 9-mile-an-hour winds, not too bad. Chance of snow flurries. So it should be fun to watch. But the question is, how much of an impact does it have on the game? So, RC, I will start with you. Tom Brady, we talk about him at age 43 and all the rest of that. Got to go up there and play in the cold. Is that a factor in this game?
No, bruh. No. I don't know why we've been trying to make it like it's a factor. You know who it was a factor for? Drew Brees, right? That's the guy we were scared that had to go to Lambeau because Drew had injuries. Drew didn't have the arm strength. Tom Brady is not tripping on this. You tell me you watch Tom Brady play this year and say that he can't cut the ball through the wind or he can't throw a football in the cold. And, guys, we met him at the Tuck Rule game. It was snowing. Dude played in New England forever. And I know we're going to say, well, they practice in Tampa. I'm from New Orleans. I'm from the NO. You know what? It is 70 degrees down here right now. And guess what? When they kicked it off for the AFC Championship two times and it felt like it was below zero temperatures, I wasn't tripping. I was smashing people's mouth. And so Devin White's not going to care. Leonard Fournette's not going to care. They're from Louisiana. Carlton Davis, who's went to Auburn, he's not going to care. And Tom Brady for sure ain't going to care. Dude done played in 14 of these. And for most of those opportunities, he was in New England. He is not tripping on this cold. He's going to make sure this team is focused. And they run the ball now. They play defense now. That travels in cold and hot and sleet and snow and rain. It doesn't matter. So Rob's going to get on here and tell you about how soft DBs are and all that. And all I say to that is, ask them folks that had to play me and Troy when it was cold. It did not matter.
Little quick secret. I think that Rob Ninkovich, with what he's about to say, upset Ryan in our pre-show meeting today, talking about the impact the cold has on the quote-unquote little guys. Go ahead, Ninko.
Hey, RC, I know you had that. I know RC had the hand warmer on and about 16 hand warmers inside that thing and a scarf and everything possible, standing by the heaters. Listen. Tom Brady's going to be fine. I agree with you. Tom Brady's going to be fine. He's played in cold weather. But it's the other guys that haven't played in cold weather. And I can tell you back December 30th, 2012, we played the Miami Dolphins at home. And guess what? It was about 15 degrees. It was really cold. Before the first series of the game, there was the offensive linemen were huddling together like a group of penguins in Antarctica. And they would not even come out of that huddle. They had their hands in their pants. They were freezing. And I looked at the rest of the team on defense. I said, look, these dudes, it's over. And guess what? We won that game 28-0. They didn't score a point because it was that cold. So guess what? Tom Brady's going to be fine. But guess what? The other guys on the team, it takes a team to win a football game. So cold weather, yeah, it can affect a lot of things. The kicking game, the passing game, if it's windy. Receivers bouncing the ball off their hands, volleyballing the ball up in the air for interception. We've seen it time in and time out. Guys can be affected by the cold weather, especially when you're from a southern state and you get off that plane. You know this, RC. You get off that plane, the first thing you say to yourself is, man, that wind is cutting through me. It's cold. Because guess what? You cannot simulate cold weather in Tampa. The palm trees, you can go inside the bubble, put the AC down to 60 degrees. It is not 32 degrees in the bubble down in Tampa. So they're going to have to deal with cold weather, and they cannot. This is directly from Bill Belichick, and he's told us this before. We're not having a team meeting at the turbine heaters. There's not going to be a team meeting by the heaters. Everybody, it's going to be cold. Put your stuff on. Go out there and play football. And if they can do that, they have a chance.
This is your game, Kimberly. You're covering it this weekend. What's your perspective?
Those poor Dolphins are sitting at home like, why is Rob calling us out on TV? For me, I'm covering this game, so I'm going to let you know right now, it will affect me when I'm doing all my pregame TV hits and my face freezes, okay? But Bruce Arians isn't worried about it. Bruce Arians is not worried about it. He mentioned the wind is the only factor that could affect the game, but with 9 miles per hour right now, I don't see it being an issue. They've got too much is at stake for these guys to let weather bother them.
That is a great graphic. Kudos to whoever put our graphics up today. Kimberly Martin, cold will affect me at Lambeau Field. I like that very much. So we know we can settle one thing for certain. It is going to impact the people working the game from the sideline. Yes. Okay, so we have all of those. Then there's other NFL news from yesterday. The Philadelphia Eagles have confirmed to our Sal Palantonio that they have hired Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni to be their next head coach, coming in to an interesting situation, of course, with Carson Wentz and all that has gone on there. Sirianni, who is he? Well, he has 16 years of coaching experience, the last 11 of them in the NFL. He's worked under Romeo Crennel, Todd Haley, Mike McCoy, and Anthony Lynn as an offensive coach with the Chargers and the Chiefs, as well as former Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich with the Colts. And so we bring the group in here. There's a lot to unpack from this. And Bart Scott, gets up with us here this morning. Kimberly, I will start with you. How did the Eagles arrive? What are we hearing? How did they arrive at Nick Sirianni?
I think the Eagles made the choice between Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. So you understand that Carson Wentz, they see him as the guy that we've got to rally around Carson, make him feel good. They want a quarterback-driven offense. They wanted to bring in a guy who I don't want to use the word rehabilitate, but fix Carson. Whatever was not working, whether it was that Peterson-Wentz relationship or something within Carson, fix that. And I think two words that you mentioned already, Greeny, Frank Reich. The fact that Frank and Carson Wentz had a great relationship when he was the OC in Philly and now he's in Indy, you can't get Frank Reich. So here you get a guy who was on his staff, someone he believes in, and I think from what I've heard, Nick Sirianni is a guy that people say players will love to play for. He knows how to evaluate talent. So time will tell, though, if they can put it together in Philly.
I think, though, that makes perfect sense. It is a Wentz-driven move. You chose him in the power struggle. You've got to do everything you can to make it work with him. So there's that side of the story, and we certainly wish Nick Sirianni well and good luck. But it certainly did once again bring up a lot of people questioning and wondering about the NFL's hiring practices and the problems of just no minority coaches continuing to get hired. And the name Eric Bieniemy will continuously come up when that happens. Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator in Kansas City, addressed this a little bit yesterday. Here's what he said.
Here's the thing. It's always good to be mentioned and having an opportunity to pursue your dreams. And obviously, yes, I do want to be a head coach. But when it's all said and done with, my job is to make sure everything that we're doing right now is not to take away from the goals that we're trying to accomplish. The only thing that matters today, we got better. My own personal business, when all that's time to take care of itself, that will take care of itself.
Well, that's what he said. It doesn't seem to be taking care of itself at the rate that a lot of people would like to see it. Bart Scott, what is your perspective on this?
I mean, it's discouraging, Greeny. Once again, we see an African-American qualified candidate get slighted. And, you know, I don't know, you know, these stories about he may not interview well. That's a joke. I mean, because if you talk to anybody that's ever talked to him or have ever interviewed him, he's a guy that understands and knows how to talk to the media, knows how to say the right things. That was very gracious of him right there. I'm just tired, Greeny, of every time we look up and it's a name that nobody's ever heard of. You don't have to Google. You know it's some white coach from somewhere. And, you know, it's like the good old boys club, right? They're taking care of their own, and they're not giving guys the opportunity. I think it's a joke, and I think it's a making a mockery of the Rooney Rule. I mean, not only is Eric Bieniemy a qualified candidate, you got Ty Bowles. We never even hear Byron Leftwich's name mentioned. And look what he's been able to do. He had Jameis Winston. Yes, Jameis Winston, hungry for W's, hungry for wins. That Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards in that offense. And then the next year, you know, Tom Brady's effective as well. Like, he's not even mentioned. And not only is that, he's got blood in the soil or whatever you want to say, because he's played in this league, played at a high level. He wasn't some Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson, out of the pocket, unconventional type of quarterback. He's a guy that had to think because he didn't have the physical attributes to play the game with athleticism. He was a guy that had to think the game. So you're telling me that he's good enough to be the coordinator, but he's not good enough to be even mentioned in the quarterback or in the head coaching realm? Like, it's a joke. I mean, last year we heard Joe Judge. Had never heard of him. Got to Google him. Got to find him. I didn't even know Dan Campbell ass was even still in the NFL. This dude sounded like he's on Piper Pig yesterday and doing a wrestling promo, but that's the guy that you decide to be the CEO of your organization. Slap in the face with all Detroit Lions fans, in my opinion, because I'm from there.
We're going to play that sound for you a little bit later today. RC, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I used to be upset about it, but I actually talked to Raheem Morris last week, and I apologized to him, and I told him that I hate what this league has done to minority and African-American coaches. And he said, oh, it's no problem. He's like, we knew what it was. He said, I knew I had to be undefeated. I knew I had to try to get this team into the playoffs in order to keep this job. And so it seems like the minority coaches or the black coaches, even in listening to Eric Bieniemy, they have come to the conclusion that they understand their fight. And it's usually us that get upset. But I want you to think about this. When we see Sirianni get a job, or it's Dan Campbell or Staley, and you start to see some of these names, they go get Urban Meyer from college. You think about all the criteria or what the things that are hot, right? Obviously, Andy Reid assistants and Andy Reid offensive coordinators were hot because we had Doug Peterson, we had Matt Nagy. Now Eric Bieniemy gets there and it's something different. He doesn't call plays. Okay, let's move the goalpost for him. And then now you're the Philadelphia Eagles and you're looking for a coach to get your job, and you get guys like Malcolm Jenkins that come out and endorse Deuce Staley. Also, Boston Scott, a guy I trained, that says that Deuce Staley would be the person for the job, and they overlook him and they go hire Frank Wright Jr. And so what we're starting to see is that they can go deep into the pipeline to hire these white head coaches and find white head coaches who we've never heard of, who've never coordinated, who've never called plays, and that's okay. But when we talk about the biggest problem to me is this. Every time we talk about a job, we mention one African-American coach. We mention one black head coach, and that's Eric Bieniemy. But they could dig deep enough to find seven white coaches to hire before they hire the one name that we have to mention constantly because we feel like it's mainstream enough for people to know. That's an issue.
All right, I will leave it there for the moment, but certainly this is an issue that isn't going away. There is one vacancy left right now in the NFL. We will continue. Much more coming on this Football Friday here. The New York Jets have a new head coach, and he had a lot of nice things to say about Sam Darnold, but it's what he didn't say that's getting a lot of attention. You will hear that. Plus,
you've had enough of that, so excuse my language.
That's the guy we were just talking about, the Lions' new head coach, and he was just getting warmed up. Wait till you hear this. It's on the way. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Popeye's Chicken Sandwich. All right, here we go. Sneaky Hembo at his sneakiest today. Who was the last coach to reach the conference championship game in each of his first two seasons, as Matt LaFleur has now done in Green Bay? Bart Scott will take his shot at that answer coming up in just a moment here on Get Up ESPN. And coming up, one of the most memorable press conferences you will ever see. But did Dan Campbell actually get it all wrong? Answers to those and other questions next. Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and here we go, Bart Scott. Hembo is calling you out. Matt LaFleur has made the conference championship game each of his first two seasons as head coach. Who was the last coach to do that?
Well, I'll tell you what, Greeny, the obvious answer is Rex Ryan, because he did it with me, and maybe Hembo's thinking I won't pick it. I'm sure maybe it's been somebody else, but I'm just going to stick with Rex Ryan. Final answer, Greeny, for all the marbles.
He got us both. That was my guess, and it was your guess, and that's why Hembo was so sneaky. It has happened since Jim Harbaugh did it with the 49ers in 2011 and 2012. Hembo said, that's exactly what I think Bart is going to do. He's going to guess Rex Ryan. If it makes you feel better, Bart, so did I. So we both got it wrong. Meanwhile, Bart, as we continue to look ahead to this weekend, either or, the Chiefs defense or Stephon Diggs, who you got?
I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs, Greeny. I think he's finally kind of got to that point where his mind and his body is meeting. I know in the first matchup, he only went for 46 yards, but I think Josh Allen is a much better quarterback now. They'll do something like get him in a slot, be able to move him around where you won't be able to double him. This is a big game, and big-time players make big-time plays in big games, and Stephon Diggs is as big as they come.
He put up big numbers last week as well. RC, the Bucs defense or Devontae Adams, who you got?
I'm taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but not because I feel like they'll match up great with them, which they did in the first game, but I believe that Todd Bowles is showing us that he learns from early on mistakes, and he saw him try to play one-on-one with Tyreek Hill. He did some other things early on in the season. He will focus on Devontae Adams. He will make Aaron Rodgers go somewhere different, and Aaron Rodgers is good at that, so I'm taking the Bucs defense over Adams.
And then, Nink, I'm not even sure why I'm asking you this, but Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, who you got?
Oh, Lord. I mean, come on, you know I'm going with my guy, TB. 9-4. He's 9-4 in conference championships. Are you kidding me? He has more wins in conference championships than any quarterback has appearances. So, come on, I got to go with my guy, Tom Brady. He's going to carve up Green Bay. I got to go with TB. I got to keep my free T-shirts coming in the mail. TB all the way. The GOAT, baby.
That one feels like we could have given it to someone else in order to get a little more objective of an answer.
Come on, RC.
Three new head coaches introduced yesterday in the NFL. We were talking about this. Let's talk about the coaches themselves. One of them is Brandon Staley. He is the new head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. He was the Rams defensive coordinator for one season. The Rams ranked first in total defense and in scoring defense. Robert Saleh, officially introduced as the new coach of the Jets. The Niners defense ranked in the top 10 in total defense and third down percentage. He's been their D coordinator since 2017. And Dan Campbell, introduced as the new coach of the Lions. He played 10 years in the National Football League. At his news conference yesterday, Campbell had a whole lot to say, and it had a lot of people wondering, I'm sorry, what? Listen to this.
So this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
Oh, I see. So his plan is to have a tough football team as opposed to all the other coaches out there who want their guys not to be like that. Go ahead, Ryan Clark. You played with Dan Campbell, you were telling me. Tell us about this.
Like, this is actually who Dan Campbell is. When I played with Dan Campbell, I was a young RC, and he was a blocking tight end for the New York Giants. We also had Jeremy Shockey, and Jeremy Shockey did all the pretty stuff. And Dan Campbell was actually that dude. Listen, I went to a Catholic school, and I was the minority at that Catholic school. And I went to schools, unfortunately, I don't mean to make this racial, but I went to school with white guys like that. And I went to LSU, and I went to Tigerland. And, you know, if some people poured them up a little bit, there were guys who fought that way. That's who Dan Campbell is. Dan Campbell is expressing himself in the way that he knows how to express himself, in the familiarity that he finds toughness. Now, when you're watching this and you think back to maybe Adam Gase's first press conference and you listen to Dan Campbell's press conference and then on the same day you hear Eric Bieniemy talk, you go, okay, this guy doesn't interview well. This guy got the Detroit Lions job. And you kind of wonder how that happens. Because you know what? Maybe to somebody, biting off kneecaps and taking honks out and kicking out teeth feels familiar. I know a lot of people who that's familiar too. And Dan Campbell wants to have a tough football team. This is the way that he's expressed it. He's been an interim head coach before, assistant head coach in New Orleans. Clearly they wanted to give him the job. So let's go take honks out of people.
Yeah, and again, these are two separate. I 100% hear what you're saying. From a separate standpoint, I'm just thinking to myself, Rob Ninkovich, if that's what you're selling, you know, every football team is tough. If there's one thing I've learned being around you guys my entire adult life, every football player is tough. You don't need the coach talking about biting off kneecaps. What did you think of that yesterday?
Well, the problem comes to be in 2021 when you have a draft pick from California, he drives to Detroit in his Tesla, and you ask him to run down on kickoff and bite kneecaps, he's going to respond and say, I'm a vegan. I don't eat meat. I don't bite kneecaps. So that is the problem with the modern athlete and these young athletes today. That old school tough guy, run through, break glass, hit that guy full speed, bite his kneecaps off. We're going to be tough. Every team, look, we've been playing football for a long time. I've heard the tough guy, the crazy rah-rah stuff, and at times, that just gets old. You need a coach that can come in, that can relate to what a young athlete is going through. And right now, a young athlete comes in, they're saying, what's my social media account followings and my marketing ability right now? They're trying to sell T-shirts on social media, and they're trying to be Pro Bowlers and get paid, and they don't want to eat kneecaps. I don't want a bowl of kneecaps either.
You know what? It is a point well made because it is a good point, and you made it well. It is fascinating. Again, the whole all gas, no brake thing, as opposed to all the other teams who are going to be all brake, no gas. That stuff doesn't go very far. Meanwhile, that was Robert Saleh, the coach of the Jets, who said that. He also said this about the team's quarterback, Sam Darnold.
There's a lot of things that we have to do moving forward. You know, we're just getting the staff into the building, so there's so many things that we have to do from an evaluation standpoint with regards to the entire roster, not just the quarterback. To give you that answer right now would be a bit premature.
All right, so Kimberly Martin, you used to cover the Jets. You know them well, and Bart Scott, you're still around them all the time. Kimberly, I'll start with you. He's not saying anything about Darnold, and I guess that makes sense. What is your sense of where that will go?
When I heard that, my first thought was Sam Darnold should not renew his lease in Florham Park. He just shouldn't. Because the fact that the head coach, and I'm not blaming Saleh for being noncommittal, because you know what? Anyone would. Because what you have is a new head coach who in his first introductory press conference inherits a team that is missing a lot of pieces, and you don't have a short answer at quarterback. We've seen 3 years of bad football play from Sam Darnold. It wasn't just all on him. A lot of it was coaching. But at the same time, look at the other QBs who were in his draft class. You've seen them take steps in the right direction. You haven't seen Sam progress. Now, I understand the Jets have a lot of holes, and keeping Sam allows you to keep some draft picks as opposed to going a Deshaun Watson route. But if Saleh shouldn't commit to him at all.
What's your sense of this, Bart? You're still around those guys practically every day.
I mean, that's exactly what you want your CEO to say, right? I mean, you want him to be noncommittal. You want him to answer the question. Doesn't seem like he's ducking the question from the New York media. But you just don't want him to embarrass you on day one. I mean, Adam Gase embarrassed the organization with the I-beams and all that stuff. The fact that he didn't become a meme, I tell you what, that is a plus
that's
for New
win.
York around here. I mean, but when you think, right, that's a win. But you're looking at what he's inherited. He's inheriting a young football team, much like what he inherited in San Francisco, a team that wasn't ready to compete. They really drafted well, and they took the next step. And he's got to weigh all his options, him and Joe Judge. And there's been reports that Woody Johnson is coming back, and he's going to get right back to the mix. So you have to consider all that. So you can't be committal until you know what the plan is going forward. And you only know that until you break down the film. Mike LaFleur is going to have to look and say, hey, can he be Jimmy G or better? Because if he's Jimmy G or better, we took Jimmy G to the championship once we surrounded him with the weapons to be successful.
All right, we will see. Again, those are all decisions that will be made. We have much more football on this Football Friday coming. But right now, game of the night from the NBA. And it was a good one, and maybe a preview of the NBA Finals. LeBron and the Lakers taking on Giannis and the Bucks. Pick it up in the first quarter and just watch Giannis here working. Anthony Davis gives him room, and Giannis makes him pay, knocking it down. He had 25 on the night. Later in the first, how about Giannis playing defense? LeBron to the basket. Giannis says no way. Bucks up 4 after 1. Watch Giannis getting it done on the defensive side. But to the fourth we go. Good game. Lakers up 5. It's Kyle Kuzma with the ball for the Lakers for LeBron, who spots it up and knocks it down. LeBron scored 34. Lakers up 8. Under 5 minutes to go. It's Giannis working inside. Little turnaround action. 4 minutes left. Bucks are within 7. Next Bucks possession. Take a look at this. And you tell me how this is not a walk. 1, 2, boom. Giannis up and good. They don't call it. That's not a walk. Bucks make a 4-point game with a made free throw. Under 3 to play. Lakers are up 2. Good ball movement. KCP. in the corner three. He was 7 of 10 from three-point range on the night. Lakers by 5, and then LeBron looking for a dagger, up by 5, final minute of the game, spots up and knocks it down. Again, 34, 8 assists, 6 boards for LeBron. Giannis had 25 points and 12 boards, but a career-high 9 turnovers, and the Lakers come away with the win. And here's our guy, Tim Legler, who's here to break it down. I have 2 questions for you this morning, Legs. Let's just start with this. Are the Lakers at this point just in a league of their own as far as how good they are and how good anybody else is?
Yeah, they occupy a shelf unto themselves. There's no question about it, because they're just too deep for most teams. And they also have great balance in what they do, Greeny, because they can attack you inside and in the post, and they seem to win all of those individual post-up battles. And I thought that's the way they started out the game against the Bucks. Milwaukee decided to play Anthony Davis straight up in the post, and he went to work on them and scored at will. And then LeBron James beat him up pretty bad from the perimeter. And then that final component that you wondered about this Lakers team, would they get enough role-playing support three-point shooting? Well, they certainly got it last night. And this may sound nuts because it's a one-possession game with 2 minutes to go. The game wasn't that close. I just never felt – I watched every second of the game, and I never felt at any point that the Milwaukee Bucks were really in the game. And it was a two-point game with 3 minutes to go. That's how easy the Lakers made it look at times. And so that's why right now, because of their depth and because of their balance and the ways they can beat you offensively, they occupy a shelf unto themselves, and they're clearly the front runner to win a title.
All right, so that's one side. And then on the other side, what do we say coming out of last night about the two-time defending MVP Giannis?
A lot of the same things. He runs into the same issue sometimes because he lacks that finesse that the situation requires at times. And I understand he plays hard. He wants to oppose his will in the game, but you know, he commits 4 offensive fouls in the game because he's got one way he wants to beat you, and that's downhill with force. And sometimes if a team can get committed bodies in front of him, it creates problems. Now, he had 7 turnovers in the first half, Greeny, 9 overall for the game. And again, 4 of those on offensive fouls. And then you see late some of the issues with his shooting reared itself again. You see the air ball there from 18 feet. He also had a really ill-advised 3-point shot early in the shot clock that just completely played into the hands of the Lakers and what they wanted to do. And then again, went to the line and missed a couple of free throws in an important situation. So we know how dominant he can be in the way he fills up a stat sheet. He's a 2-time MVP for a reason, and he affects both ends of the floor. But the problem with this team surfaces every time you see him either in a tough playoff series or against a top opponent that's got a good defensive game plan. His inability to be able to use finesse, whether that means shoot over the top, shoot a mid-range shot, make plays off the dribble for other people, that's where he really struggles. And the Lakers allowed him to use that force against himself, really, in that game. I think he wanted it a little bit too much. And the Lakers had plenty of bodies in that lane waiting for him. And it's still the big question mark for the Milwaukee Bucks. Can they break through if they don't have that guy that can beat you from anywhere on the floor in a critical moment?
Well, so they took on the Nets this week and the Lakers, and away we go. Legs, thanks a million for getting up early with us here today. And we've got good basketball coming your way tonight. Our Friday NBA doubleheader kicks off with Countdown at 7 Eastern, followed by the Celtics and the Sixers going head-to-head. And then we will have the Nuggets and the Suns coming your way after that. A good doubleheader. NBA action tonight on ESPN. Coming up, it is the story of the offseason. Our analysts will tell you the best landing spot for Deshaun Watson in 2021. And they just weighed in. Saturday night, it's McGregor and Poirier. In the next hour, Dana White will join us live talking about the enormous fight from Fight Island tomorrow. That's coming up. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Oh, I'm here to have some fun.
I wouldn't get my hopes up.
I just love it.
You're telling me not to get my hopes up.
That's what I'm saying.
This is the kind of morning it's going to be.
Dan, of all people in America, I thought you would know end zone is sacred.
Don't say it. You know what is no longer? Our friendship.
I'm devastated.
Y'all know who the hell I'm talking about.
If Bruce Arians is throwing a shot at Bill Belichick, he is high.
Why in the world is the human element all of a sudden something we want to preserve in sports?
How long is it till you want to get rid of it for the players, too? A guy shouldn't drop a pass, so why don't we replace him with a freaking robot?
I would like all of Mr. Graziano's comments stricken from the record.
A real genius right now would acknowledge that he's wrong.
So by all means, go ahead.
Big Perk, his son, 101. I'm putting all my money on his son. And he has better hair.
You got them grits going on down there with that boy.
I'm raising little beasts over here.
3 pancakes for the walk-off, baby.
Swagger, what do you think?
Oh, Swagger, we gotta pull it together.
Lots of fun here this week, and thank you for being along for the ride. Meanwhile, let's talk about where Deshaun Watson would fit best next season, or what would be the best move for him. Kimberly Martin, I'll start with you. What's the best fit for Deshaun?
Oh, Greeny, this will break your heart, but it's the 49ers. Is there a more creative, QB-friendly coach than Kyle Shanahan? Is there a team that's more loaded on both sides of the ball than the 49ers? Deshaun literally was in Houston trying to do it all by himself. You know who won't waste a year of his time? The 49ers.
That would be scary if he wound up there. RC, same question. What's the best fit?
I want him to go to Chicago. I want him to go to this team that we've been saying is a quarterback away. Chicago needs to try to get Deshaun Watson. Need to try to keep Allen Robinson and keep that defense intact. Have them attacking. Let them know that when they play great defense, they can win football games. That holding the Saints to 21 points won't get you beat by double digits. Go get Deshaun Watson.
Yes, that would be the best thing they've done since Sid Luckman. Bart, how about you? What's the best fit?
It's got to be the New York Jets because it has to be mutually beneficial for both organizations. So the Jets can offer the best package. And I think Deshaun Watson, if he likes Allen Robinson, guess what? The Jets have the equity in the salary cap space to go get him. If he wants to bring Trent Williams over here from San Francisco, guess what? He can come over here with him. And okay, the Jets aren't San Francisco, but the next best thing is Mike LaFleur, the fact that he can bring that same system and be able to allow Deshaun Watson to play in that same
Homer.
Rhythm, a quarterback-friendly
opportunity.
But absolutely.
You.
Listen, he can reunite with James Harden. The stimulus
he's just trying to get on Greeny's good side. It's okay.
I'm going to ask everyone to stop interrupting Bart Scott. Okay? I'm going to ask everyone to stop interrupting Bart Scott because what he is saying constitutes the best thing that has happened to me as a fan in the last 10 years. Literally, just these words are the best thing that have happened to me in the last 10 years. But Kimberly Martin, I'll come to you because Adam Schefter sitting, well, I was about to say in the same spot you're sitting, probably not, but on my screen, he was in the same place. And the point is that he said yesterday, don't get your hopes up. And as we all know, Schefter doesn't just say things willy-nilly. So that suggested to me that the New York Jets of Bart Scott could practically be crossed off of this list. What are you hearing?
Greeny, if you were Deshaun, would you want to come here? No offense to you and Bart, but the draft picks that you're going to need to get him,
yes,
you need to use to bolster this roster. This is a team that has not been good in a very long time. They are not just a QB away, although Deshaun is a phenomenal quarterback, but they need other pieces. And the fact that I can't even imagine we're having this conversation about the Jets actually being a place that Deshaun should go to. Because if you take emotion out of it, guys, Bart, Greeny, if you take emotion out of it, it doesn't make a lot. It's not mutually beneficial because it's not, you know what? It's not beneficial to Deshaun Watson. J.J. Watt apologized for wasting a year of the guy's life. You don't think that'll happen here? Don't shake your head at me, Bart. Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it.
In a world where social media seems to decide everything.
It makes so much sense on every... It makes so much sense, Greeny. I mean, because you understand that, listen, it doesn't take much to turn a football team away. You look at what Miami did in one season with Brian Flores. They have a great left tackle. They have the ability to go out and get assets because they have money where people that can't be protected, they can go out and get Zach Ertz, Allen Robinson, and Trent Williams. You think that offense is going to be good enough? Of course. And if Silas is as advertised, the defense won't take long once you get C.J. Mosley back. Quentin Williams is a budding star, and you can go and get a pass rusher on that side of the ball. They have plenty of equity. It's not going to take all their draft equity to be able to go get pieces. Decide who can offer a better package and put Sam Darnold within the package. Nobody other than Miami.
He is going to have, Deshaun is going to have a good deal of say in where he winds up. But obviously the Texans will have some control over this as well. And I'm thinking if I'm them, I'd like to get him out of the conference if possible, which RC is one of the reasons that your pick of the Bears, just based on being in the NFC alone, makes a lot of sense to me. In your opinion, if what they give up is a ton of draft picks, with Deshaun Watson, are the Bears the team to beat in the NFC next year?
You know what? I don't necessarily know if they're the team to beat, but they're one of the teams that could contend for an NFC championship, and that's what you want to be. I think Deshaun Watson puts them over the offensive hump that they've been under. You don't have to develop him. You don't have to work with him. You don't have to necessarily say, this is how we make you better. He comes in and makes you a better team right away, and we saw what Bill Lazor was able to do down the stretch with Mitchell Trubisky. Now imagine that being Deshaun Watson. I think if you're the Chicago Bears, you do all you can to make this happen and then let this dude flourish.
Yes, after they passed on him several years ago in the draft. That would be irony indeed.
It was just Phil White.
This continues to be the story of the year. Meanwhile, we got a huge weekend coming your
way.
You can tip
it
off with the first game tonight of our NBA Friday doubleheader. The Celtics and the Sixers is on ESPN. Then tomorrow afternoon, Duke and Louisville highlighting our full day of hoops across all the networks. And then tomorrow night is the big night. ESPN Plus, UFC 257. Conor McGregor is back against Dustin Poirier. Friday and Saturday, the big lineup on ESPN. All right, still to come, Patrick Mahomes is hurting. One of our crew will tell you how the Bills can and should take full advantage of that. Plus, it's Brady versus Rodgers with everything hanging in the balance. How important is Sunday's game to their respective legacies? Those are the questions. We've got the answers. Get up on ESPN.